What is PrionNet?
PrionNet is a federal networks of centers of excellence. This is a competitive process. We received notice that an NCE would be supported for bovine spongiform encephalopathy and related diseases back in the budget speech of 2004. So there was quite a bit of organizing to submit a grant application and to have it reviewed. It was awarded, and PrionNet became the federal prion disease network, inaugurating in November 2005. We also, of course, have a sister organization within Alberta called the Alberta Prion Research Institute. This is a network funded by the government of Alberta to basically tackle many of the same issues that we're tackling in the federal NCE.
Well, the two organizations, PrionNet and the Alberta Prion Research Institute, you've banded together to host the conference that we're at today. What are you trying to accomplish at this conference?
We're trying to provide a venue for Canadian prion research and policy. So we started with a very small number of attendees back in 2005, and this year we actually have over 300 attendees, mostly from Canada, but also from the United States and from Asia and from Europe. So our goal ultimately is to develop the world's largest and best international prion meeting, which we hope to accomplish over the next few years.
Well, when the public was first introduced to the idea of prion diseases, it was mad cow. But now this seems to have covered just about every part of the biological world, whether it's cows, cattle, sheep, humans, and elk and deer. Why is it that there's been this explosion in what's happening with these prion diseases?
Well, the explosion was really prompted by the economic shock and awe, if I can use that phrase, of the discovery of domestic BSE back in May 2003. This occasioned a large hit to the Canadian economy, something on the order of $6 to $10 billion. And of course, this brought this group of diseases to public attention. But percolating in the background before BSE is, of course, the human disease, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. Canada is not exempt from Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. We have our own issues with managing these patients in hospital and in the community. And also an important and troubling animal disease of deer and elk called chronic wasting disease. So chronic wasting disease is, to my mind, just as scary as bovine spongiform encephalopathy, but we have no strategy to manage this disease. It's been estimated that 100 years in the future, there will not be a single cervid, deer, elk, caribou, left in North America because of the unrelenting advance of this, of CWD.
Gee, that's scarier than climate change.
Yeah, well, I think it's scary from a number of perspectives. It's troubling that the animals themselves are becoming affected. The epidemic is spreading in the wild like wildfire, so of course there's environmental consequences. And my colleagues and I feel that there's a significant risk of penetration to the north and northern economies. Involvement of the caribou herd would be nothing short of a disaster of the first order for Aboriginal populations.
With all of this activity since 2004 or 2005, now on prion research, are we any closer to knowing what really causes it?
Progress is being made, and I use the passive voice here because Canadians are contributing to this, but there is worldwide interest in the actual mechanism of prion infection. As we all know, or as I think has become clear over the past few years, prions are very unusual infectious agents. They do not require a nucleic acid. There's no DNA or RNA. It's a type of infection that depends on a kind of propagation, a domino effect of protein misfolding. And as such, it's more akin to crystallization than it is to microbial replication. This is not a virus or a bacteria. It's a protein that templates changes in structure in neighboring proteins. So this has become pretty much the party line. It's pretty much established. There are very few holdouts for the prion hypothesis, one could say. But exactly how this process occurs is still kind of a black box for science. We don't know the steps. We don't know the dynamics of how one misfolded protein can turn another normal protein into more of the same just by physical contact.
What are the things that stand out for you right now in terms of our present knowledge?
So at the meeting, we've had a disturbing presentation from one of the world's experts in prion disease, Jean-Philippe Delis, who hails from France. Dr. Delis has been studying the transmission of prions through blood using non-human primates in his laboratory in Paris. And what he presented today suggests that numbers of people, numbers of human beings incubating variant Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease may be much higher than we originally estimated. And not only that, it looks as if these sorts of infections can be transmitted readily through blood and blood products.
When you say it's worse than we may have thought, how serious is it? When you look at the numbers that are quoted now, they really don't seem all that high.
So variant Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease as a clinical syndrome is, in fact, limited. It has tragically affected about 200 people in the world, and this has been because of consumption of contaminated cattle material. I won't even say beef, because the material involved was central nervous system material. So you look at this orally transmitted epidemic and say, well, we've kind of dodged a bullet. But what has been previously unrecognized is that the numbers of people incubating the disease, they may incubate it for their entire lifetime without presenting clinically. The numbers incubating the disease may be 10 or 100 times larger than the number of people to actually come down with the disease. This at first seems reassuring, but the fact that blood donations are being obtained from people who are incubating the disease, and the fact that bloodborne transmission is an efficient way to transmit the disease, it all suggests that we may see another epidemic of this of variant Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, which is, of course, untreatable and fatal, which is through blood or blood products or even surgical procedures.
What do you see on the horizon that's positive?
So I see some interesting, important initiatives. I see the decline of orally transmitted variant CJD in the United Kingdom and France, although it does seem to be involving more countries, for example, Spain and Portugal and the Netherlands. There has been a decline, a marked decline in the number of new cases, which is a very important thing. I also see some progress being made in blood tests, which I think could make the blood supply safe again for transmission of variant CJD. I also see some very important and exciting initiatives with vaccine-mediated prevention of the animal diseases and perhaps even passive immunotherapies for human beings who have been unfortunate to contract Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease.
Now that the sort of the immediate interest in mad cow and various things has passed, is there still support to keep this sort of research going?
Well, both the federal network, the Networks of Centers of Excellence called PrionNet Canada, and the Alberta Provincial Network, the Alberta Prion Research Institute, both of them are funded through a 7-year cycle, both of them approximately the same amount of total research dollars, to the tune of $35 million each, $5 million a year for 7 years. I think this was a very wise and forward-looking move on the parts of the federal government and the Alberta government to address the challenges posed by these atypical agents. At the end of the day, the most important function of PrionNet and the Prion Institute are to control the risk, to manage the risk of prions and prion diseases involving animals and humans. And this is the sort of work that can't be done on a short cycle grant. It's also the sort of work that requires, it necessitates, a network approach address not only the basic science, but the applied science and the lessons learned for risk management in a comprehensive and integrated fashion. So I myself would like to thank the Alberta and the federal governments for having the wisdom to support these large and protracted networks to address the issues of prion disease.
Thank you very much, Neil.
Thank you.